Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly last night approved a nearly $166 million budget that includes funding to keep the Mary Sia Recreation Center open. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The Assembly debated for about an hour before approving Lance Roberts' amendment to add $374,000 to the budget to keep Mary Sia open through the coming fiscal year. A dozen members of the Friends of Mary Sia, who earlier were waving signs on the street corner urging the Assembly to fix the aging rec center, broke out into applause after Catherine Dodge announced the unanimous vote.
Mary Sia Rec Center funded for another year. Unanimously.
One of Mary Sia's friends, Kim Dunchy Herning, says the group is encouraged by the vote.
What we hope to do is keep it open as long as it takes to have it replaced by another facility.
Dunchy Herning says she hopes borough voters approve a ballot measure Mayor Carl Castle has proposed to finance construction of a new aquatic center by selling bonds. But she's concerned voters may not support the proposal because of the borough's tight fiscal situation.
It was going to be demolished, you know, and then we were going to be at the mercy of the voters.
Roberts says borough taxpayers have invested a lot of money into the 68-year-old rec center over the years, including an extensive renovation in the 1980s. And he and the facility's supporters believe that with some additional maintenance, it could stay open for at least a few more years.
I just don't like to throw away buildings just because they're a little old. Many places in the country have very old buildings that they use, and I think we can do better.
Castle had proposed demolishing Mary Sia as part of a program to catch up on long-deferred maintenance on borough facilities. He told Assembly members he'll let them know if engineering studies being conducted on the building reveal serious problems with its structural integrity that could jeopardize its certificate of occupancy.
If the city inspector does pull our occupancy rating, depending on whether or not he gives us any time, we'll keep it open as long as we possibly can.
The final budget also gave the school district just over $50 million to minimize school district layoffs and spending cuts. Assembly members and school board member Wendy Dominique both agreed to do a better job communicating over the level of funding the borough would provide for the district and the size of the district's budget reserve.
I just feel that those conversations were needed early on. They didn't happen. And I look forward to having those conversations early on for the next year.
Assembly members tweaked several line items in the amended budget, including some involving solid waste. They turned down Roberts' proposed amendment to eliminate funding for attendance, and another by Christopher Quist to close the borough's 14 transfer sites and landfill on Sundays and Mondays. On another issue, Roberts failed to convince members to hold the mill rate at last year's level of 11.9 by paying it down with $5.4 million from the general fund. The Assembly instead approved an amendment to boost funding for facilities maintenance with any general fund balance money left over after the annual contribution to the budget reserve. Next year, that'll add about $2 million to the maintenance budget. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Alaska Senate has voted to end a key requirement of the criminal justice reform voted into law 2 years ago. It would end a mandate that low and moderate risk misdemeanor defendants be released without posting cash bail. Now judges will be able to order bail for all defendants. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Since January, people charged with misdemeanors who are assessed as having a low or moderate risk have been released without having to post cash bail. Anchorage Republican Senator Mia Costello proposed allowing judges to require the cash bail for all defendants, not just those assessed as being high risk.
I heard from many, many Alaskans who said they are frustrated when the criminal who victimized them is caught only to be immediately released, and then there are additional victims.
The Senate voted 12-6 in support of Costello's proposal. She says judges should have discretion to decide who is released without posting bail. North Pole Republican Senator John Coghill opposed the proposal. He notes that those charged with felonies, sex offenses, or driving under the influence are not eligible for mandatory release. And those who violated the conditions of their release in the past also aren't eligible.
So what we're trying to do is actually free the judges up to deal with the people who are actually the ones that need the attention the most.
Coghill says the state is already seeing benefits from the change in pretrial decisions that happened in January. judges are required to use a tool that looks at publicly available information to score the defendant's risk of failing to appear or commit another crime. Coghill says that giving judges more discretion sounds good, but releasing more defendants avoids problems.
It lets people go back to work. It actually solves a problem of not having to jail them, but it also solves a problem of not having recriminalization become part of their life.
It was an amendment to a larger criminal justice bill. The bill started as a measure allowing police officers to arrest people without warrants for assault on healthcare providers. But the Senate added several other proposals from Governor Bill Walker's administration. They include allowing judges to consider defendants' out-of-state histories in making pretrial decisions. The bill heads over to the House. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Late lingering winter conditions and a season's heavy snowpack have delayed opening of the Denali Highway. Alaska Department of Transportation spokeswoman Caitlin Fry says crews working from both ends of the 135-mile road between the Parks and Richardson Highways have been slowed by recent weather, and conditions have been especially challenging on the highway's east end.
Wind is blowing snow back onto the roadway, and several late spring storms have contributed to just really tough conditions out there. Every time they make progress on the road, it snows again, and then crews get pulled away to the Richardson Highway. And then they have to go back to the Denali and redo the stuff they've already done.
Fry says the road has been cleared on the east side from Pax into mile 20 and on the west end from Cantwell to mile 60, but the middle section is impassable. The road is not expected to be fully open until June 1st. The DOT cautions anyone attempting to travel the Denali Highway to check the Alaska 511 site for current conditions. A prescribed fire conducted this week on a military training range near Fort Greely burned an estimated 26,000 acres. Alaska Fire Service spokeswoman Beth Ipson says a couple of hot spots are still active within the 62,000-square-acre Oklahoma range, about 12 miles west of Greeley.
It may be a large area, but it's very remote.
Ipson emphasizes that the fire is under control and was conducted as a precautionary measure.
We would much rather that it burns when conditions are in favor right now than end up fighting a wildfire under the worst possible conditions, like in the middle of the summer when there's other fires going on.
Ipson says it's the largest prescribed fire the Army and Fire Service conduct annually. Olympic cross-country skiers Reese and Logan Hahnemann were welcomed home to Fairbanks last night. The brothers, who grew up skiing locally, competed in their first Winter Games this past February in South Korea, an evolution 28-year-old Reese describes as inspiring and humbling.
I remember being a little kid at Birchill and seeing the fast guys and the U.S. ski team and meeting Olympians, and, you know, to think that that's me now after all these years is mind-boggling, really.
Younger brother Logan says they've been overwhelmed by Alaskan support.
The whole Alaska ski community is really impressive and supportive, but Fairbanks is next level. I mean, even compared to Anchorage, there's just such a tight-knit community here, and you build, there's relationships that we've established over the years that are so fun to come back to.
The brothers have not decided if they'll pursue a second Winter Games in 2022. Logan says they need to get a little further from the Olympic experience before making a decision about long-term goals.
It'd be fun to come back in 4 years and do this again and do better, you know, maybe come as a medal contender or something. But then you take a step back and you're like, that's 4 years of a lot of work, you know, but it's totally worth it. So we'll see. We'll see what we have in store.
May 1st is the traditional start of the training year for cross-country skiers, and the Hahnemanns confirmed they have resumed workouts with the Alaska Pacific University program in Anchorage, where the brothers have based in recent years. I'm Dan Bross.